Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
Live from the Lineup Media Group studios, this is the Metro East Sports Podcast. I'm Colin Surrey alongside Dave Leip, Bill Roseberry. What's going on, guys?
Daytona. Daytona Day.
You're a sick person.
Why? It's America's great race.
See, because I'm privy to details that the rest of the audience doesn't have. It's totally natural to ask why I say you're a sick person, but...
Why am I a sick person?
Just the entire way that you're about to enjoy this experience, you're a sick person, Dave.
I can't watch the XFL all day.
That's right.
I have yet to watch it yet. I need to. I've heard it's been good football so far.
But it has been. From what I've seen, I've enjoyed it.
It's been cold outside. Too cold to work in the yard. Too cold to go play golf. So, XFL, Daytona.
Yeah. I was busy getting Rolling Stones tickets for me and my dad this week. That was what took up my time. Have you guys ever tried to get tickets to a big show like that? It's kind of annoying. You got to go in and you keep getting kicked out. You got to wait in a waiting line to get tickets. Last Sunday, I went to see that Queensryche show. You just go to this place, pay like 25 or 30 bucks, and you get in. Everybody pays the same thing, and you stand in there and watch a show. But when you do one of these big arena shows, it's a big process to get tickets.
Do they have a new album?
The Stones? I think they did put one out about a year ago. I haven't listened to it, but it's my dad's favorite band, and I figured, it'd be a chance to spend an evening with him. And Steve Porter and his son got tickets too, so we're all going to meet for dinner. It's like a father-son thing, and then we'll go check out the Rolling Stones.
Well, Anthony Stalter this week at ESPN did not know that Paint It Black was by the Rolling Stones, and being someone who is a good 15 years younger than him, I had to give him crap on the air for not knowing that. That's pretty egregious, in my opinion.
Somebody brought that up to me, and they were very aggravated about it,
Yeah, he is aggravating. No, he's a great guy.
Yeah, they were like, how do you not know that, It was like, oh, he said he listens to Bruno Mars, and I said, so do I, so anyway.
Well, welcome into the Metro East Sports Podcast, everybody. Make sure to follow us on social media. Twitter, we are at Podcast Metro is the Metro East Sports Podcast. On Facebook, we have a page. You need to go visit us there. And if you have questions, comments, concerns, whatever it may be, you want to complain about the rankings that we're going to mention and reference and have up on our website here before long, email us show@metroeastpodcast.com. Get in there and let your voice be heard. We want to hear from you, the listeners. And before we get any further, let's get right into the high school sports roundup. Father McGivney had a very convincing win over the Metro East Lutheran girls, and we're going to start off with some sound here as Dave Leip was able to get out there and hear from Madison Webb, who had a big game in that one. So let's hear from Madison right now.
Okay. Great game for you tonight. Were you happy with how you played?
Definitely. I couldn't have done it without my teammates, though. A lot of the credit has to go to them, so yeah.
And do you know where and when you play next?
We play Monday at Christar Rock against Carrollton, I believe.
And you played basketball right after a volleyball season. Do you ever get to take a break?
No, I've been playing sports all my life. I can't think of a time where I've not been in a season of some sort. I go from volleyball, basketball, select basketball, and just do it all over again. And I love it. I think it keeps me active, and I wouldn't do anything else.
Keeps you out of trouble. What's the strength of this team?
I think the chemistry for sure. A lot of us have been playing. Me and Macy and Mariah, we've been playing together since freshman year. And then Anna added to that, and Charlize. We all play really well together. Me, Anna, Charlize, we play select together. So I think that chemistry is something that's really important that I don't think a lot of other teams have. And yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
One common thing that I keep coming back to with a bunch of championship teams and really good teams in general, they're filled with all of these players that play multiple sports. They aren't a one-trick pony. This is my life, this one sport. And unfortunately, that seems to be the mentality as we move forward here in sports is that you need to be specialized in that one thing. But this is a group of girls in the Father McGivney basketball squad that are filled with girls that play all different kinds of sports year-round.
I think that's sort of the lay of the land in smaller schools, too. I think a kid is more able to play more than one sport in a smaller school. There are kids in big schools who play more than one sport. Brendan Weller comes to mind. But, yes, these McGivney girls are going from one sport to another, and Madison was fun to watch. She's a tough player. She's a smart player. She sees the court very well. She's a leader. But there were several girls like that for McGivney on Friday night. And she's also a 1,000-point scorer.
So impressive, and really just impressed by just seemed like her maturity in that interview, you know, speaking to the chemistry of the team. And that's something that Coach Jeff Oller, the head coach of their girls basketball team, spoke to as well. He was also caught up with by Dave Leip right here.
Coach, congratulations on a big win for you, a first win for your program at this level.
Yeah, it's really exciting. A lot of work went into it, and the girls put in so much time and effort in the season and the off season, so it's something they definitely deserve.
What would you say is the strength of this team? I've been asking the girls, and they're all saying a lot of different things, but they're also saying a lot of similar things. What would you say is the strength of this crew?
Right. Well, I'd say number one is that they get along, and there's a lot of team chemistry here. We don't have drama. We just are here to play ball and build relationships, make good memories. And on the court, though, I'd say they play defense really well together. They got good anticipation. They play off each other defensively. Offensively, they do a good job of finding the open person, finding who's hot that night, and getting the ball.
What do you know about your schedule from here on out?
So we're going to have Carrollton in the sectional semis. We saw them up at the Carrollton tournament a couple weeks ago. That was an overtime game. We beat them in overtime, so it's going to be a tough challenge. A lot of familiarity between our programs. We've played a lot in the summer. Not so much in season, but we just kind of know each other, and they're a good team. We're going to have to be ready.
And when's that game?
We'll play on Monday.
Okay. Good luck, Coach.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, appreciate that very much. Check out.
It'll be a great game. Those two teams played already, as you mentioned, and it was an overtime game. So we'll see what happens here. A lot of fun tomorrow for those two teams, Carrollton and Father McGivney.
Should be a good one moving forward. And then another great game that you were there for, Bill Roseberry, Breeze Mater Dei and Marquette. Talk to us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, Mater Dei is really good defensively, and normally they shoot really well. They struggled early on in that game against Marquette, but got better in the second half and were able to pull away. They got one of the biggest things in that game was they got Adrena Snipes, which is Marquette's leading scorer. She had three fouls in the first quarter. The third one was on a charge foul, and it was questionable. I was down on the floor under the basket taking photos for my advantage job, and when she got called for the charge, the Marquette bench went nuts. They got teed up. It was just a really emotionally charged, you know, first quarter. They went in. It was a 5-point game at the half. No, it was a 4-point game at the half, and Mater Dei scored right at the buzzer. But then, boy, coming out in the second half, that defense picked up for Mater Dei, and they were able to score some more and pull away. They're just a really complete team, deep, and head coach Dave Conan talked about some of that after the game, too.
Here he is.
Well, I think that and Sally.
Yeah.
I mean, Sally had a big game. Laney had, you know, right off the bat, she hits a tray, and they're leaving her wide open, and she drops one and hits another one, or hits another two. So all that, you know, when you got seniors, that's what's going to happen.
Ray did a good job of getting to the line, too. That was a big difference.
Yeah, we could have hit our free. We're better than that from the free throw line. Just tonight we weren't, but what were we about?
20 of 29.
Yeah, not bad. We're still better than that.
Yeah. Talk about kind of a slow start shooting-wise, but you guys played strong defense.
Right off the bat, I just told Coach Green, I said he had a hell of a game plan. Right off the bat, I knew that there was going to be something there because they wanted to keep it a low-scoring game, knowing they didn't want to try to run with us, and they did a good job.
Winning these regionals never gets old, huh?
I like them. I don't care how old I get. I still like them. I still get nervous before them, too.
How big of a deal was it to get the three fouls on Snipes early, too?
Well, it limited her defensive help. And, you know, we tried to isolate, and she was smart enough to stay away from the foul. So give her a lot of credit, too.
Yeah, like you just said, you know, regionals have come in. Now you have to move on to the sectional down in Greenville. What do you got to do to win down there?
I don't know. We just try to prepare for the next game, and that's it. I mean, I'll go up to Carlinville tomorrow night and watch them play. We'll get a film on both of them if we need it. You know, and I don't like overdoing it. I like a film and watching them play is enough. And it's because at this time of the year, it's more what we do than what they do.
So there it is from Coach Conan.
Yeah, that was their fifth regional in a row, I believe. Modern Day's been pretty good here in recent history. 20th regional altogether for the Modern Day girls basketball team. Some of the other regional champs, we mentioned Father McGivney won the Class 1A Metro East Lutheran Regional. Carrollton won the Class 1A Whitehall Regional, and they'll play at the Christar Rock Sectional. Marissa also was a regional champ, and they will go to the Wayne Sectional in 1A. In 2A, Carlinville won the Carlinville Regional. They feed into the Greenville Sectional with Modern Day and also Breeze Central. Central won the Carlisle Regional. Modern Day won the Gillespie Regional. And the other 2A regional champ locally was Freeburg. They won the Columbia Regional Championship, and they will move on to the Carterville Sectional.
Wrestling had their sectionals this past week. There are some very deserving wrestlers that will be heading on to state. What did we see in the world of wrestling this past week?
Well, we had 13 sectional champs out of the three classes, and we had a slew of others that will be going up to state also, which will be at the State Farm Center in Champaign this coming Thursday through Saturday. I always have trouble staying. I still want to say Assembly Hall. I can't get past that. I always have to stop myself from saying Assembly Hall and say the State Farm Center.
It's a little bit odd, isn't it? I feel like Assembly Hall had a little bit more gravitas to it.
Do you know who loves it when you get it wrong? Allstate.
Yeah, there you go.
I sure do. Need a little cha-ching for that one.
So, yeah, we had the sectionals were, the 3A sectional was in Quincy, 2A sectional was in Muskuta this past weekend, and 1A sectional was in Vandalia, where our local kids were at. Some of the ones that won sectional championships who look like they could really do some damage in state. At the 3A level, you obviously have Edwardsville's Luke Odom, who's ranked first in the state, now the all-time winningest wrestler at Edwardsville. And then Lloyd Reynolds at the heavyweight class for Edwardsville. He won at 285 in Quincy. And, I mean, the Quincy sectional bracket for the heavyweights was just as stacked as it was at regionals. I mean, once you got into the sectional, that feeding into the Quincy sectional, 8 of the top 10 heavyweights in the state were feeding into that sectional. So things, on paper at least, should get easier for these guys moving on to state next weekend.
And how many Tigers advanced to state? Wasn't it 8? Was it 7 or 8?
I didn't look at the total number. There were so many kids locally that made it out. I just went through real quick and grabbed the sectional champs. They had eight champions at the regional, and I think 10 that moved on to the sectional. I didn't count how many actually moved out of there for each school. In 2A, a couple of the guys that stood out are going to be Caleb Tyus at 132 for CM. He was a sectional champ. And then Zeke Waltz from Jerseyville at 160. Zeke's still undefeated on the season. Those guys could do some damage at state also. Caleb Tyus is undefeated also at CM. And then in the 1A, Joe Braunagle from Altoff was a winner at 182 in Vandalia, and he's going to state. Dean Criddle from the Belleville News Democrat just did a real nice story on him. obviously the Braunagle family, anybody that's familiar with wrestling, especially Althoff Wrestling, knows that family name. They're really successful on the mat. He's got a couple of brothers, older brothers right now, that are wrestling at U of I, and he's hoping to follow in their footsteps as a state champion at 1A. So that's what's going on in wrestling. And I will have great audio from next weekend. I will be at the state tournament like I am every year. It's a really cool event. I'll be up there on Saturday, so I'll have some good audio for us for next week from whoever makes it into the state finals.
We are absolutely looking forward to that. And don't forget that after all of these interviews are done, those will all be posted on the website as well. So make sure you visit our website again. Get involved at MetroEastSportsPodcast.com. Email us, show@MetroEastPodcast.com. Let us know your thoughts, what you're thinking about the show, any questions you might have, anything you think we should be covering that we're not covering. Get involved on social media, @PodcastMetro on Twitter, and follow us and like us on our Facebook page. And again, we'd love to hear your feedback on those platforms as well. So moving on now to MVCHA hockey. We've gotten into the postseason. Granite City grabbed the regular season title for the first time since 2012. They're trying to win it all for the first time since 2011. We've got some results in after 1 week of play now.
Right. Now, Granite had a first-round bye in the 2A bracket. They will play Belleville starting this week in the semifinals in the 2A bracket. The other side of that bracket, Freeburg-Waterloo, who had a first-round bye, will play Collinsville. In the 1A bracket, you have O'Fallon and Edwardsville that are going to be playing. O'Fallon had a first-round bye there. And then the other teams are Triad and Alton will have play in the semifinals, all trying to move on to 1A and 2A championships in the MVCHA.
So interesting stuff happening there, and something that we will stay glued to. We'll have your updates. We'll let you know what's going on in the world of high school hockey in the Metro East area. Moving on now to Collinsville and Alton. Bill, you had the privilege of being at this game. You caught up with Rayshon Taylor after the game as the Cayhawks were able to pull away a little bit in that second half and finally take control of the game. And I think some of the things that Rayshon said as he is approaching so many of these career milestones. He just went over 2,000 points a week or so ago. Now he's approaching the all-time record for points scored at Collinsville. His answer strikes me as somebody who can lead a team deep into the postseason. Here's Rayshon Taylor, who caught up with Bill Roseberry earlier this week.
Thanks for that. So will Rayshon just talk about tonight coming in here and like I talked to Coach, you know, kind of they were with you guys in the first half, maybe started a little slow, but boy, what did you guys do in the second half to kind of change that and really pick up and pull away?
We turned up the intensity on defense. We got out and ran a little bit more than we did in the first half. Basically, just made more shots. I wouldn't say it was a slow start, but we didn't make as many shots as in the second half. So we just did what we had to do, get on number zero, number four, the leading scores. We did great on number four, actually.
He didn't score tonight.
Yeah, he didn't score, which I think he averaged 13, 14, something right around there. And we had guys step up off the bench and play big minutes.
Yeah, talk about, like I talked to Coach, how much is it about adjusting at this time of year as people are changing, throwing different things at you and gimmick defenses and, like you said, boxing ones and different things. What do you guys got to do to kind of adjust on the fly here and get a rhythm again?
Yeah, well, we know the team's going to play more box now since we played one game where we didn't play as well as we did. And I got going to be confident we're going to knock down shots as we're supposed to. And we're going to continue to practice on it, give him more touches, get Keydre more touches. And Kawan and Laurent, Caleb, David, and they all got to be aggressive when they get in.
Talk about yourself now. You're 22 points away from the all-time scoring record there at Collinsville, Tom Parker. Do those things play into your mind at all, and how much do you have to put those personal things out of your mind when you're out there?
No, I'm just out there trying to win, and what comes, comes. But I'm just out there playing as hard as I can. I mean, when the time comes, it'll be there.
How important are those things to you? With the rich history of Collinsville basketball.
After, I mean, when my career over, it'd be important. But right now, I'm just trying to help the team win as much as I can.
So what do you guys need to do to?
I'm not just saying that like as a cliche. I'm
right.
Serious.
Yeah.
I just want to win.
And talk about what do you guys got to do to kind of find that rhythm that you had early in the year when you were just rolling and scoring in the 80s and some of those things again.
We didn't like we was having as much fun, but we're going to get back to it and continue to have fun, play hard, and play for each other.
And you can tell that Rayshon wasn't just saying those things to be cliche, to say the correct thing. You could tell that he truly believes that, look, these things will be important to me one day, but right now I'm focused on the task at hand, and that's the mark of a winner in my eyes.
Right, and you know, I don't know if he fully grasps the tradition of Collinsville basketball. I think a lot of people have told him. I think he does, actually, but I wasn't even around for Virgil Fletcher area Collinsville basketball. I've been told by guys like Steve Porter and some of the older guys, you know, I don't know if you were around.
I was around. I was in high school in the early 80s, and as a kid in the 70s, I was aware of it on the peripheral. I'm not going to tell you I was going to games on a regular basis, right. But I was aware of the tradition of high school boys basketball in Collinsville for sure.
And it's been away from that for a long time, and Rayshon's rebuilding some of that passion that these Collinsville fans have, and there's still some of those older guys around that loved it. They've always loved it, but they're at the forefront again.
But Collinsville has won conference championships recently. It's not like
they have.
It's
not like 2012 might have been the last one. I'm just saying that off the top of my head. I know they had one. Yeah, I think it was 2012 was the last time they won one.
Edwardsville boys basketball got a big win in an unconventional fashion this last week, Bill.
Yeah. I guess East St. Louis used an illegal player and had to forfeit the game. So Edwardsville was able to pick up a conference win there over a good East Side team. And it was also Dustin Battis' 20th win and only his second season here. You know, he's got some big shoes to fill. You know, Mike Waldo is absolutely a legend in this area, and he was Dustin's mentor, so you know, this is a big deal for Dustin to have those 20 wins and a nice win, you know, bad for East St. Louis, but good for Edwardsville.
And It's not a nice win. It doesn't feel good for anybody. Edwardsville doesn't want to win like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
And
nice win on paper.
You're talking about a young guy, young coach. He doesn't want to win that game like that. Nobody wins this way. It's unfortunate from every direction. So I know that both teams want to move forward. I'm sure Eastside would like to move beyond it. I don't know that many details about it, but it's unfortunate for everybody.
Well put by both of you. In the world of girls basketball, Civic Memorial, as we all know, has been a powerhouse, and they do again win the Valley Championship this year. But they lost to Jerseyville this last week, and we're starting to see a few chinks in the armor from the Civic Memorial squad.
Well, I've seen Jerseyville play several times this year. They're a very good, complete, deep basketball team. They end up finishing second in the Valley. And this last month, they've beaten Highland and CM. So we're getting ready to go into the postseason here. And even though Civic Memorial wins another
conference championship.
Mississippi Valley Conference Championship. I always want to say Missouri Valley. It always throws me off.
They're close.
It's like the Assembly Hall type thing. So they won again. I believe that's four in a row for them. But Jerseyville seems to be getting hot. And it's going to be an interesting postseason here for these schools because you're going to have – CM goes as the top seed of the subsectional. They're going to be in Triad starting this week. They're number one. East St. Louis is the four seed in that regional. They'll be in there with CM. a team that knocked CM off 2 years ago in the regional finals in Bethalto. Now, CM has strengthened their schedule to be ready for that game because they are not used to seeing the speed and athleticism that Eastside will throw at them with a lot of the smaller schools that they played. So they've really upped their schedule, though. They've seen a lot more of that. I think they'll be prepared better for that. But the other regional is in Jerseyville, where Highland is the 2 seed. Jerseyville is the 3 seed.
Can we circle back to the really interesting to the conference? So that was a really strong conference then. 3 teams at the top with a lot of parity in the Mississippi Valley on the girls' side?
Yes, those 3 teams in particular. After that, it drops off some, but CM, Highland, and Jerseyville are all very good teams.
That does is help those teams. Helps those teams. When there are multiple teams who can compete with the top teams, that makes the conference better.
Absolutely.
So kudos to that conference and those teams.
It just sucks that, you know, when we get through to like a sectional final, only one of those 3 teams will be standing. But that's what it is. I mean, that's what you play for. So we'll see what happens this week. I will be in Triad, so I'll have some audio from that, from the CM final, and then, you know, we'll figure things out and try and get to Jerseyville, because I think that Jerseyville-Highland game can be electric up there for that regional final.
What night is that?
I believe it's Thursday.
Okay.
And as you say, Dave, whoever comes out of that sectional bracket has to feel awfully good about making a run at a state final. You've been battle-tested so many times. Iron sharpens iron. And at a certain point, you're going to feel good about your chances knowing that you've already gone up against some of the best competition in the state. And speaking of another powerhouse in girls basketball, the Edwardsville girls beat O'Fallon in overtime. Q Love gets her 1,000th point in that contest, but it was not an easy win, and we're seeing time and time again the Collinsville boys, both of their losses have come at the Panther Dome. Not an easy venue to try to come away with a win, especially with the quality of teams that these O'Fallon squads have been able to put out on the court.
Yeah, O'Fallon's had a really good year, and they'll go in and be the top seed going into the Alton Regional this week, where Edwardsville will be in Collinsville as the number one overall seed in that subsectional and be the top seed there. So this is probably going to be a rematch in, you know, about another week and a half, where they're going to play again, and we just had an overtime game. So, you know, if I'm O'Fallon, I'm going to take a positive out of that I took Edwardsville to overtime, you know. So, but, you know, with Coach Blade and Edwardsville Tigers, they just seem to roll this time of year. Anyway, they're just so talented.
That's what they do. And in the world of bowling, we've got some things that we can update.
Sorry, there's one other thing. When you brought up Q Love scoring 1,000 points, yes, I also wanted to mention I had gotten an email from Jerseyville girls coach Kevin Strebel, and, you know, he had just said that Abby Manns for Jerseyville has gone over 1,000 points this year, and Claire Braden, who's junior, their point guard, is over 1,500 points now for her career. So I just wanted to make mention of that. I forgot to mention that earlier. So.
Well, good thing you do. That puts it into perspective that these are players that have been a staple of the program, and that's why they are where they are right now, able to knock off teams like Civic Memorial. So bowling, I know we had some things that happened this last week as well, correct?
Yeah, we had the sectional in O'Fallon, and 4 teams locally are going to the state tournament in bowling. Muscoota won, Highland was second, Belleville East was third, and Collinsville was fourth. So again, we have Collinsville team moving on. So Muscoota had a really good day. Corinne Bean of Muscoota was the individual champion for the girls bowling sectional in O'Fallon. And next week now, the state tournament will be at the Cherry Bowl in Rockford.
As we wrap up here in the high school sports roundup, we want to let you guys know to get involved on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Podcast Metro. Go to our Facebook page, like it, leave your comments, questions, anything else you think we should be covering in the world of high school sports. It's such a large realm of things to get to. We're trying to get all of it in there the best that we can, but if you have any suggestions for us, we would love to hear them. And you can also email us, show@metroeastpodcast.com. So now moving on to the college report, a lot of things happening in McHenry athletics. We'll start with basketball, as it was a couple of tough losses for the women's basketball teams at McHenry. But UMSL has a little bit of local flavor on their roster. Alex Laporta, we had spoken a few episodes ago about Bella Laporta, her younger sister now starring at Highland. Her older sister, Alex, had a career-high 37 points and 16 rebounds in an overtime win against the McHenry Bearcats.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, she was an exceptional player at Highland also, when it was on that state tournament team a few years ago. And be remiss not mentioning their brother also, their brother Sam, who is a tight end at Iowa right now.
Played in 12 games and had 15 catches as a true freshman. And the pedigree of tight ends that have come through that program is incredibly impressive. So certainly a good place for him to be, and just shows you the athleticism of this family. And something that I wanted to point out about Alex Laporta, just doing a little bit of research before this game, she leads the team in assists as a 6 foot forward. She leads the team in rebounding, is number two in the conference in rebounding, and then goes off for 37 points. Her previous high was 27, so she blew that out of the water in that game and was incredibly impressive on all fronts, as she, again, led her team in assists with 4 assists in that ball game. So she can do it all. So McHenry women's team does fall, so not a great result for them against UMSL. They also lost this last Saturday, but the McHenry men's team had a great result in their last game. They were down big. They were down by 12 points in their last contest and are able to come away with a win. They go on a 22-0 run against Lindenwood. As we've got a note here, Ben Terrell is a transfer to SIUE from ISU.
Great, great high school golfer at Edwardsville. He'd been at Illinois State, and he just transferred back to the area to go to SIUE. I covered him at State several times and through his high school career. I mean, he's a fantastic golfer. That's a big get for SIUE to have a local guy like that that has so much success and such a storied resume coming back there.
And Derek Brown's done a great job of building that program. He's gotten some great kids in there, and he's an excellent coach himself too. But a little bit back to the McHenry men's team, they make that huge 22-0 run late in the game. They end up coming away with a win, snap a 4-game losing streak against some lesser competition in the GLVC. They had 3 wins against ranked conference opponents and nearly pulled off a win against number 20 in the nation, UMSL, and the Tritons in a game that they had on Thursday, but were unable to come away with that one with a late run. They had it within 2 within a minute left to play, but were not able to pull it out. But nice for them to get back into the winning column against Lindenwood with that big comeback sparked by a 22-0 run. They held the Lions to 4 points in the last 10 minutes of that ball game, so a big win for them. And then on the side of women's wrestling, we've talked a little bit about women's wrestling moving forward here. The McHenry women's wrestling team is number 1 in the nation. Their head coach, Sam Schmitz, is also an assistant coach on the men's team, which is number 2 in the nation.
Wow.
I called some PA for them on Friday, and they won in dominant fashion, as they normally do in that one. But I was able to go to a practice earlier this week for the women's wrestling team. Sam Schmitz had some really interesting things to say. He took over that program in 2013 at its origin, so he's been there for the entire process. Here's what he had to say about that journey going from a new program to a powerhouse now.
I mean, it's been rough, man, and I say that not because it hasn't been a fun thing and a blessing, but it's been tough. You know, it's hard to start a program. It's hard to keep it afloat, and it's you know, we have a lot of support from our administration, a lot of support from our men's coaches and our men's wrestling team, and a lot of support just from our fan base and the people, the parents and the people out there that have constantly tried to help us and guide us, and the advice we get from other coaches and you know, people who have done it before and those kind of things. And so there's a lot of people out there that we got to thank for where we're at now, because it's been a long process, man. And but it has been tough. You know, we started out as a program where we had 17 girls on our team, and we were trying to fight to fill a lineup and, you know, moving kids around just to try to win dual meets. And, you know, didn't have any All-Americans our first year, you know, and then finally got some All-Americans and slowly, you know, grew that and got kids on podiums, and then finally got two national champs last year and won a national dual title. And, you know, it really has been a journey. And it's been a blessing to see it grow, you know. And even as we sit here in my office, just looking at these pictures of how our team has grown, it's pretty incredible. You know, the people have come in and out of our program, and every single one of them, whether they're here for 3 months or a year or 2 years or all 5 years, I mean, everybody had a part of it. And it's just been really fun to watch. It's been really fun to see, but it definitely was rough to start. But it's kind of cool to see it now.
So kind of interesting to hear from Sam Schmidt saying it's been rough, even though the road to glory has been great and it's fun to see the successes. It just shows you that anything, if you want it to succeed and you want it to be a great product, the work that you put into it is going to be a grind. It's going to suck at times. It's going to be awful. You're going to have days where you're thinking, why am I even doing this? This is so much work and I don't see the results right now. But if you stick with it, great things can happen in the long run.
I think as a coach, it's easier to have that vision than as a player. Because as a player, you're thinking, I got 4 years here. But this coach has the vision. And I think what has made the difference for the Bearcats in wrestling are the coach's ability to communicate that vision and get the wrestlers, male and female, to buy onto it. And kudos to McKendree for promoting all their sports and for being good in wrestling among several sports this year.
Well, and you said it, Dave, the buy-in is the thing that is truly impressive. When I went to this practice, I told him in this interview, it was a little bit of a longer answer and we're in a little bit of a crunch for time, so we're not going to go totally into it, but one of the things that I mentioned to him that was incredible to me, when he would correct someone's technique, they would immediately figure it out. They were so receptive to the things that he was telling them. And I know from my athletic career, there were things that coaches had told me, it would take me weeks, if not months, maybe even over the course of an entire year to groove whatever that technique was and get it down and truly feel comfortable with it. The way that they were able to adapt and really respond to what he was saying was incredible. And the women's wrestling team at McKendree has some really big things coming up. So let's hear from Coach Schmitz on what's happening in these next few weeks for McKendree Wrestling.
The first thing, yeah, is that senior night where, you know, we get to a special time to recognize some of the girls that are, you know, have been a part of our program for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. And it's a pretty special time for them, and just special for, you know, kind of give them a last kind of outing to show off their stuff, but also, you know, a nice little gift and some memories and that kind of thing, which will be good against Oklahoma City next Friday. And then, yeah, fast approaching is that national tournament. That's going to be kind of put on Cliff Keen NCAA Nationals is kind of what it is sponsored by and ended up being. And it'll be exciting. It'll be the first time that all the NCAA schools will have their own tournament. It's not a NCAA, you know, tournament yet, but it's going to have that kind of feel. And it'll be good. It'll be exciting. But, you know, the biggest things on our schedule that we look forward to is that, you know, that time and place where we get to try to make world teams. You know, we'll hit up the last chance qualifier in Pennsylvania to try to get some last girls qualified for the Olympic trials. We already have two girls qualified for the Olympic trials, so we'll be there anyway. But hopefully we can get, you know, gather a few more to join them. And then, you know, that last thing is trying to get those girls, you know, on a junior world team, their age group world team, junior world team, U23 world team, and try to be, you know, I think this would be the seventh or eighth year that we've had somebody on one of those world teams. So that should be exciting, and we'll try to get somebody on it again.
So there you heard it from Sam Schmitz. Some huge things coming up, including Olympic trials. These are girls that are competing, women I should say, that are competing on the world stage. They are that good. That is how impressive this program has been. And something that was really interesting to me was what Sam Schmitz said in terms of advice for other parents that might have a wrestler or someone, a kid that wants to get into wrestling. If you're a parent of that kid, here was his advice to people that need to let their kids enjoy the sport.
Let your kid develop. You know, let your kid develop. Stop worrying so much about the wins and the losses and who the tough kids are and what club I need to be at. You know, let your kid enjoy the sport. You know, I've been doing this sport since I was 6 years old. My dad drove me around, you know, all over the West Coast, and you know, I would go to tournaments and here and there, and you know, my dad was a huge influence for me with that because he just let me wrestle. You know, and my coach is the same way. They just let me wrestle. They weren't worried about all of the extra crap. I mean, for goodness sakes, like, you know, your 10-year-old is not getting a college wrestling scholarship right now, right? Like, let them wrestle and let them enjoy it. Let them find, I mean, the best thing about our sport, in my opinion, is what it teaches you. It's not about, like, the wrestling. I mean, this sport is unlike any other where you're learning work ethic and you're learning how to be disciplined and you're learning how to eat correctly and all of these things. And I find it's hard for me to go, and for a lot of coaches, it's hard for them to go to little kids' tournaments and, like, people yelling at their kid and just crazy stuff. I mean, just let your kid enjoy the sport. Let him play on the wrestling mat and then wrestle a little bit, and, you know, let it be fun so they learn to love it, so they want to do it later on in life and they want to stick with it, not pound them into the ground and then they get burned out. But that's my biggest thing, man, is just let our sport teach these kids what, this might be hard to say, or I shouldn't say it, but let the sport teach people what society, in my opinion, is missing right now. Discipline and work ethic and those kind of things. Let this sport teach kids that, because we need it, man. And wrestling is one of those sports where you learn it. If you stay in it, you're going to learn it, you know. But yeah, get them out there. Let them wrestle. Let them have fun. Let them play other sports. Right? I played football and basketball and played baseball and ran track and I did all these sports too. Like, let them do other sports too. Don't focus on wrestling alone or baseball alone or football alone. Let them try things. And that, in my opinion, develops a well-rounded athlete.
So there's Coach Schmitz, as he's got some words of wisdom for everyone out there. Just let your child enjoy the sport. Let them play other sports and be a part of everything.
Right, and I took something interesting out of that, and I wanted to ask you two guys about this. So I grew up my entire life playing baseball, playing a team sport. You kind of rely on your other teammates and everything. Wrestling, yeah, it's a team sport, don't get me wrong, but in the heat of competition, you're out there by yourself. You have to psych yourself up. You have to fight through that adversity alone. It's not like a basketball or football or baseball where you're in a team environment most of the time. You guys may have a little bit more interesting perspective with that too, with you growing up golfing the way you did, and you with tennis, because it's similar in the way that it's not the physical part of what wrestling is, but you're still out there having to be mentally, maybe a little bit mentally stronger as an individual in those situations. I don't know what you guys want to say about that.
Well, Bill, I played quite a bit of tennis too under this guy, Coach Leip, over here, and he can attest to maybe my mental capacity wasn't all the way there with trying to get things done, but I couldn't stand doubles. I only wanted to play singles, and that's something that I enjoyed about golf too, was that everything was under my control. I at least felt like if I was going to fail or if I was going to succeed, I could control the outcome.
Everybody's different. Some people like to be out there with the team. Some people like to be out there by themselves. Personally, I think tennis and golf and wrestling are sort of the best of both worlds, because you get to get out there and you play by yourself, and especially in tennis, you get to play doubles, which I think is a blast.
Right.
but then you also are part of the team. And that's what makes sports fun for a lot of people, is being part of the team. Now, in terms of being difficult, mentally grueling, tennis, golf, wrestling, when you're out there by yourself, there are other sports in which at crunch time you can kind of hide.
Right.
You don't have to throw and catch the ball and make every single play.
Right.
There are some sports in which one may hide. And in some sports, one's ability to hide is greater than in others. So, you know, we're kind of off the topic here a little bit, but I appreciate your question for sure.
I think it's right on the topic, because it does tie into wrestling in that way, where you're on the mat, you've got all this energy that you've expended, say, after two periods of wrestling. You're completely exhausted, you know, nothing's left there. And then the ability to still perform, to still have that technique and not fall back on bad habits when things get tough.
I'll say this, second for second, wrestling is the hardest sport I've ever participated in.
No doubt.
Physically.
No doubt.
Second for second. We wrestled in PE when I was a kid growing up in Granite City. And 45 seconds of wrestling is difficult. And Coach Wagner at EHS and I would always joke around about me taking him on in wrestling. And the joke was not if I would win, but how long would it take him to pin me? And he would always say, Leiper, 10 seconds.
Yeah, he'd whoop
And I'd
you.
Say, come on, man, give me 30 seconds. And he'd say, you can't run.
And Johnny Wags would whoop you.
And I'd say, well, can I fling poo?
Yeah.
And he'd say, no. So, you know, we joked about it forever. I'm like, come on, man, give me 10 seconds. He's like, no way. There's no way you'll last. So one day I was standing by the mat talking to somebody. Didn't even see him. He throws me on the ground and pins me in like less than 2 seconds. He's like, today's the day. And I was just like, I'm a tennis guy. He and I were both actually at SIU Edwardsville at the same time. He was wrestling and I was playing tennis. Great coach, great guy.
Great story. And just a couple of other things to wrap up in the world of McKendree sports. In swimming and diving, the men finished second in the GLVC championship, so a great showing for them. They set a couple of records on day one of those GLVC championships, and the women fifth place in the GLVC championships there. So good results for them as well. And Dave, I know you've got some stuff with Lewis and Clark that you want to get into.
Lewis and Clark women's basketball next Saturday at 1 o'clock against Lakeland, and then the men are going to play Lakeland at 3 o'clock. At halftime of their women's game, their women's soccer team is going to be recognized for their semifinal finish last year at the national tournament. They're going to have free hot dogs, chips, beverages for free while supplies last. Everyone in the door will receive a commemorative giveaway, an additional Blazer swag, and they have a chance to win more stuff. The game will be announced and broadcasted live by College Radio's Best on WLCA 89.9 FM. So good stuff happening at Lewis and Clark in the winter, recognizing a great performance in the fall by their women's soccer team.
What a great program. Tim Rooney has been there for a long time. They've won national championships. They've been a great women's soccer program and men's soccer program for that part. He did both. Now he's just focusing on the women. And they've had a lot of local girls, especially on this team. He gets a lot of international flavor too, but this team had, you know, girls from Edwardsville, girls from Wood River, girls from Alton, girls from Civic Memorial, from Roxana. There's a lot of local flavor on that team, which has made it really exciting this year.
And you see a lot of transfers in the area at the Division II and even Division I level of kids transferring out of Lewis and Clark,
exactly,
and even SWCC in the area. Two big-time powerhouse community college programs in this, right here in the Metro East.
Yeah, SWCC and Lewis and Clark played for a regional championship to move on, and it was a great game too. We covered that for the Advantage. But you know, you're right. There's a lot of those kids that move on to a four-year college because of what Coach Rooney has done for them and the spotlight that you get on the Lewis and Clark Trailblazers soccer programs.
One of those programs, SIUE, they've got some things going on in women's tennis, I know, that Dave wants to get to, and also some softball news early on in the season as they get started.
Women's softball, 4-0 on the very early season. The baseball team is 2-0, I believe. They just kicked off their season as well. Women's tennis cruises to 6-1. Undefeated at home. They had a really nice 4-3 win over Illinois State University. Adam Albertson, in his second year at SIU Edwardsville, is really doing a fantastic job of recruiting. Their women are playing great tennis at the top of their conference. 2-4-3 wins this year. Kudos to the Cougars.
So as we wrap up this edition of the College Report, again, let us know. Get involved in social media, and we want to hear if you have events, if you have a story out there that we should be covering, that we need to get out on the Metro East podcast. You can get it to us on Twitter, at Podcast Metro. You can go to our Facebook page, like it, leave a comment there, leave a story, an idea for something that we need to be talking about, and you can also email us, show@metroeastpodcast.com. So that leads us into the pros, and I know you met up with Colin Veith of the Grizzlies this past week. Dave, what did he have to say about what's going on with the Gateway Grizzlies?
The Grizzlies are excited to begin their 2020 season. Their season kicks off in early May. They have not announced their promotional schedule yet, but we are talking about getting the Metro East Sports Podcast out there for a first pitch at some point. But my idea, I've got a twist I want to put on this. I want to throw the first pitch, but I want Rosie to be at the plate. So a first pitch and a first potential hit by batsman to begin the season. What do you think about that?
Oh, you don't want me to catch. You want me to stand in there and pitch
you. I want you to try to swing.
Oh, what happens when I take you yard? Is it going to hurt your ego?
That's what I'm saying. I'm throwing right at you. No. That's why I said the first hit batsman of the game.
Yeah.
So are you up for that?
I don't know how hard you can throw, so. Yeah, not very hard.
You should toss a spitter up there. It gives the impression that, hey, it's coming over the plate, and the next thing you know, it's diving for his noggin. So definitely some fun things is that'll do it. A quick in the pros here on the Metro East Sports Podcast. And in our Scholastic Report, we've got some interesting news and some pretty cool stuff going on that you were tracking, Dave.
The Troy Little Knights hosted a huge basketball tournament this last weekend. Brian Thompson, president of the Troy Little Knights, hosted this event at Triad High School, Triad Middle School, and three other schools in the Triad School District. And they had over 90 teams. I think I counted like 93 teams. I would love to hear what he had to say about how that event wound up. It's so much work to put together something like that. The scheduling, absolutely, the logistical work. But guys like Brian Thompson are really integral to every sports community. Guys who will organize events on a grassroots level, give the kids something to look forward to, and pull it off professionally. He's got a great website. I checked it out. Kudos to Brian on his effort and all the kids that played in it. So we'll try to hear from him next week.
And that'll do it for the Metro East Sports Podcast this week. But we've got one more thing to get to here with Bill.
I just wanted to make mention that we are going to have our weekly rankings. We will post those on our Facebook page and our Twitter account. So go check those out. Right now we'll have large school and small school boys and girls basketball rankings only, but as we move forward into the spring, we'll be trying to get all the sports up, and we'll put those out on a weekly basis.
So just go to Facebook, search Metro East Sports Podcast. On Twitter, we are at Podcast Metro. And also, you can email us, show@metroeastpodcast.com. And we've got really fun things coming up next week. All kinds of really important stuff going on, especially in the high school realm. We've got state championships for wrestling. You're not going to want to miss that episode. We'll have audio from Bill in that one coming up. And we've got all kinds of sports. The girls' basketball is moving into postseason. Really fun stuff going on there. We'll get more into hockey as the MVCHA tournament starts to develop. And then before we know it, it'll be boys' basketball postseason as well. All of that will be right here on the Metro East Sports Podcast. For Dave Leip, the head of the show, Bill Roseberry, the knowledge, and Colin Surrey, the gas bag. This has been the Metro East Sports Podcast.
I thought you were the golden voice.
The golden voice. There you go. I like that.
Gas bag. Same thing. See you guys.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.